This is the King Chasing Podcast, where we keep Christ at the center of athletics. Here's your host, Brandon Gilmore.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm Brandon, and this is the King Chasing Podcast. As always, thanks for joining us, and please make sure to visit our website at thenccaa.org for more King Chasing content. Well, I'm really excited about today's guest, Kara Farnsworth-Lale. Kara is the head women's soccer coach at Columbia International University. She has led her team to 3 NCCAA national tournaments and has been named NCCAA South Regional Coach of the Year. In 2018, Kara was named to the United Soccer Coaches 30 Under 30 program, which is designed to support up-and-coming members of the coaching position who are 30 years of age or younger. Thanks for listening today, and I hope you enjoy my conversation with Kara. Well, hey, Kara, welcome to King Chasing.
Thank you, Brandon.
How's everything in Columbia?
It is going pretty well. How are you doing?
I'm good. Can't complain. It's a beautiful day here in Greenville, so... So we'll jump right in. After serving as an assistant coach at Colorado Christian for 2 years, you actually started the women's soccer program at Columbia International in 2015. Mm-hmm. What were some of the challenges that you faced as a first-time head coach, but also with starting a brand new program?
Yeah, I think as a brand new coach, I mean, I was still fairly young, and I was jumping into something that I really had no idea what I didn't know. And so I think each day I was learning and trying to adapt and trying to kind of solve problems that were coming up just because I didn't have a ton of experience at that point. And so I needed to grow in a lot of ways. And I was doing that in job and on the job experience, which I think was good for me in the way that I learned. And I walked away from CCU, I think very well prepared into taking over a head coaching job. But I still just didn't know what I didn't know. Learning to this day. But starting a program, I think it's a lot of things that people don't think about that just kind of work together every day, that again, like creating culture. We had nothing that we really did in teaching kids how to play college soccer, from teaching how do we sub in, to the subbing rules, to walking out internationally, things that upperclassmen can kind of help nurture some of those younger players. But now as a coach, I'm having to describe each and every one of those things, which made it really difficult. It was really draining. But then lastly, we just also didn't have that competitive edge, not knowing what college soccer was going to be. We kind of had a great start to our first year, but also had kind of some rude awakenings along the way as well, not knowing what it meant to be hard-nosed and find the back of the net. So we were just trying to figure those things out, where it was an interesting process.
Sure. So fast forward now to 2021, you're in your 7th season as head coach at CIU. Mm-hmm. What are some of the most important things that you've learned along the way?
I think the most important thing is just having grace for myself, and understanding that I'm going to make mistakes and to grow from them, relying on the Lord's strength to power through each day, but also to empower me to make good decisions and be able to love my girls well when we're all exhausted. That I'm going to fail, and that doesn't necessarily make me a failure, and to ask for help when I need it.
I love that. So I know you were married in 2020, and you now have a baby boy named Austin. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So how have you had to adapt with that in terms of work-life balance, going from, 5 seasons by yourself to where now you're married and have a kid? How have you had to adapt?
So my husband is our head athletic trainer here at CIU. So that was I enjoyed that quite a bit. So last season, where it was just the two of us, being able to work hand in hand with him, having him on my sidelines. That was, we enjoy that. We enjoy being able to work together and being able to, talk about our athletes and love our athletes together. That's part of our ministry and part of what we love to do. So even bringing the kids into our home, we want to love them and love them well, and that we get to do that from a soccer. I get to kind of get the soccer and mental, a spiritual standpoint, and he gets to help them physically and get healthy again and in every aspect. We really enjoy doing that together. So that's been a lot of fun. And this year Austin was born July 12th, and we started preseason August 6th. So it was we were still learning how to have life with a newborn while we were entering into season as well. So we're learning how to balance, but it's been a lot of fun just having a really supportive husband. I mean, he's driving to the games with us. So the three of us oftentimes will drive separately. So that way I can feed the baby and the baby can come and we can kind of do that together. Have a really supportive assistant coach who's just been killing it, controlling and taking care of the girls and being able to take them on the bus and serve them where I'm not able to right now. And then again, a really supportive AD who just supports us as we are trying to figure this out together.
Well, and I can imagine some of the girls on the team might even kind of be supportive as well and helping in some ways with
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. They take turns. Each day they take turns on who gets to babysit every day. So we have a different nanny come every day for them.
That's awesome. What are some specific ways that you integrate faith into your team?
Yeah, so we have two different kind of mindsets that I put this in. Is one is our inward faith integration. And so how are we growing as a team? And I mean, we pray regularly. We pray purposefully. And part of that is also having what we call braid buddies. So the idea that three strands is stronger than one. And so growing those relationships is really important. So each week they have a different braid buddy that they get to be accountability with, as well as just an encouragement. And then we also have family groups. And so we put them into five different groups on our team. Each group has a family leader who runs devotionals as well as mentors the girls individually. And then we also have a chaplain that's a local pastor who comes to practice almost every day and just kind of hangs out. He was a soccer player as well. But he gives us a daily challenge. And so girls can being able to give a verse of a day and being able to explain what that means to him. So some of our girls who are a little bit younger in their faith can hear a verse and start to understand a little bit more and from somebody else's perspective, what that could mean. So that's kind of our inward focus, how we grow inwardly as a team. But we also have outward faith integration, so how we want to impact the world with what we're doing. Part of that is the way that we play, but also in playing with excellence. But we also pray with the other team after each game. And then finally, we also do we do this thing where we write notes for an opposing team. And that started back in 2015. So part of, again, creating culture, who do we want to be? That first class wanted to make sure that other teams knew that we were relatable. We were people that oftentimes, I think with women, we go and play and we get so competitive that we forget that the other person that we're playing against isn't like almost human or whatever it may be. And there's this hatred that gets built. And rather than we are two separate people that are fighting for the same thing, but we stand for representing two different schools. And so we wanted to find a way to kind of bridge that gap and be able to love people well as Jesus loves us. And so we will each game, we partner the girls together. And so one of our players will partner with an opposing player and she will pray for them over a couple days leading up to the game. And prior to pregame, we ask that they write that player a note and whatever that may be on their heart. So if that's a Bible verse, an encouraging message or even encouraging quote, whatever that looks like for them and how whatever the Lord leads on their heart, that they go and write a personal letter to that person and call them by name, give them their Instagram handle or however they want to connect with them. And so that's kind of how we've been able to keep accountable in the way that we play, but also be able to create relationship with people as well.
I love that you talk about the inward and the outward integration, that you kind of break it down that way. As far as what you guys do with the note cards and all that with the opponents, what impact have you seen or heard from your opponents with that?
Yeah, from early on, it was really neat. It was in our first year. The girls will pray with the team afterwards, and they'll run over and grab their notes and come back. And this game, for some reason, the girls just kind of something happened. They kind of got disheveled, and so instead of going and shaking hands, they went and ran and got their notes immediately. And so they ran and got their notes, and the other team was a battle. They were lots of cards thrown through the game, and the other team was like, what, they won't even come and shake our hands, and we're upset. I was talking to the coach at that point. The girls ran and got their notes and came over and were starting to hand them out. And the coach and I, again, talking, you heard these girls saying, well, wait, do I get one? Where's mine? And the coach, it allowed an opportunity and the coach was like, what are you doing? What are they doing? And why are you doing that? And be able to kind of explain why in our hearts and that Jesus has given us so much, and we want to be able to give that to others. And this is that gift of love. And so that's one. But then also kind of moving forward a couple of years later, we had a team back to back. So we played them three times in a matter of a couple weeks. So we gave them notes, and it was really neat to see kind of the relationship that was built from that. They came back and ended up giving us notes the third time that we played. Wow. Notes that we ended up getting back from that, one of the girls read the note out for us, and it said, thank you so much for sharing what you did, and that how transparent you were about your faith. And it made me realize that I wasn't living for Jesus in the way that I should. And I've decided to recommit my life to Christ. And thank you so much for your note. We get some notes like that once in a while, whether that be even just Instagram messages of, hey, thank you so much for connecting with me. I really appreciated your note. Best of luck the rest of the season. And now it's at least a connection. Or even a girl, one of our players had torn her ACL for the third time, was out for the season. And she ended up just randomly, again, we picked these names randomly, and she got connected with a girl that just found out that day that she had torn her ACL for the third time and her career was done. And they connected and were able to love on each other through that process as well. So it's been really cool to see how the Lord has worked through those notes to connect us with people and our stories, and encourage both teams. So we've gotten a lot of encouragement out of it too.
That's awesome. So can you talk a little bit about the impact your own players have felt, and if it's helped with the accountability of how they carry themselves on the field?
Yeah, absolutely. And after you write a note to somebody and we ask them, you go and you hand that note to that person, and you have to look them in the eye and tell them good game and hand them that note. And you're about, if that note is the first time that they're going to hear Jesus, is how you played, how you represented yourself, a good indicator of what is written on that note. That's that accountability and being able to love each other through that. And it is those small messages once in a while that we get back that puts into perspective of how the Lord is using that and how we need to take those things seriously, and what we write in those notes, but also then the impact that it could have and how much that impact could be torn to shreds if we're not upholding ourselves on the field and playing with excellence.
Yeah. There's been a lot of talk about student athletes' mental health. It's really kind of come to the forefront since the pandemic started. How have you, as a coach and a leader of these young adults, tried to help your team stay grounded in their faith as they navigate the current issues they're facing?
Yeah, I think it's crazy to see the amount of mental health that our students are struggling with. And young ladies who... Yeah, it's just incredible. And I think where our stance on it is that we want to get them the help that they need. And so giving them resources, providing resources, and sometimes that means us going with them to a counseling appointment. And other times it means that here's a card for somebody. If you ever want to call them, it's posted on my door. You guys can go ahead and do so. It's about more so what the student athlete needs and being able to kind of navigate with them and help support them in that way. I think it's also about being really patient with them, that sometimes an injury is not as much about a physical injury as made worse by the mental health. So just, again, being patient, but also learning and how to push them when needed, and using our athletic trainers as a way to support us in that. But then finally, also just like keeping things in perspective. I had a conversation with one of my players this morning who had struggles with their mental health, and she had in our game last night just did not play well. One of the first games, she typically plays 60 to 90 minutes, and we got about 20 minutes in and we finally pulled her. And I reminded her this morning that performance doesn't dictate your worth. And it doesn't dictate your worth in the Lord's eyes, and it doesn't dictate your worth to this team. It may dictate your playing time. Your performance may dictate your playing time, but that doesn't come. That doesn't indicate your value. And your value comes from this, and this is what value you bring to our team, about who you are, the love that you have for your teammates, the accountability that you bring, and et cetera, whatever that young lady brings. And yeah, just again, keeping that in perspective, that I think so often the world tells us that we have to perform, and sports is tough in that too, because it constantly is telling us perform, perform, perform. And you don't perform, you lose playing time. You team doesn't perform, we don't win. And it's easy to make that our identity. And so again, pulling that out of their identity and seeing them as people and reminding them who they are in the Lord's eyes. And that comes from us as coaches, but also having their mentors, their family mentors that work with them, check in with them, our chaplain who reminds them of that daily, and just, yeah, having the support together and keeping each other in check is important.
Yeah. So something that I don't think is talked about as much as student athletes' mental health is coaches' mental health. You know, coaches are living life too and dealing with the ups and downs. So what are some things that you do personally to help take care of yourself and your own mental health?
I spend a lot of time with the Lord. And in little ways, I mean, having a newborn is still hard. And so I have a little children's Bible that our assistant AD gave us. And so even when I'm feeding them, one of the feedings in the morning, I'll read one of the stories out of the children's Bible to him. And taking that is wanting to create good rhythms in his life. But also then I just read the story of Moses and how does that impact on what I'm doing now? And being able to think through how that's impacting me too. And having a lot of grace for myself, finding those balance, as we talked about earlier, of family, that I think a lot of times I feel like I'm failing, and that, again, putting things back into perspective, just as our athletes, we're trying to do that for our athletes, that, again, that doesn't, although I made a bad choice or I'm not, I didn't feel like I crushed it that day, that this is just one day and it's a new perspective the next day. And I think that's one thing that the Lord has taught me through Austin, which has been neat, is how forgiving that he is on a day that I've made him cry all through the night, or I didn't wake up to him crying. I did that yesterday, and he, poor guy, was awake for like an hour, and I slept through it. But
We've
how
all been
he,
there.
He forgot about it and loves me still the same. And that's how the Lord loves us too. And so again, putting that perspective that the Lord loves me regardless of my mistakes, and in the midst of chaos, and that we do the best we can, and we learn from it, and we move forward.
Well, thank you, Kara. That's all the time we have. Thanks for joining us on King Chasing, and good luck the rest of your season.
Thank you very much, Brandon. I appreciate it.
Thanks again to Kara for sharing some practical ways coaches can integrate faith into their teams and how she manages work-life balance and mental health challenges. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to the King Chasing podcast on whatever app you use to listen. We'd also appreciate it if you encouraged others to listen and subscribe. Once again, we're thankful to you for tuning in and supporting us. Join us next time on King Chasing. Take care, everyone.